Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Downtown, downtown, downtown.
Started, I want to make an announcement. There was some pretty profound news that came over my desk yesterday, and I posted it on my blog, and it's kind of blowing up like a volcano. But come to find out, when the federal government made the sale of all the properties out at Perdido Key back in 1957, they accessed it through the GSA at that time. There was a provision apparently put into every single deed, and I've got 64 of them linked to my blog this morning. There was a provision put in every single deed that indicated the 75 feet from the water northward was to be held in perpetuity as an easement for public beach access. I'm going to repeat that. Public beach access for use by the public.
Yeah, this is pretty big news, and I will say it with the asterisk of depending on how it all plays out, because if it is exactly as Commissioner Burgash says, and as the deeds look to my naked eye, untrained legal eye, that it is, agreed, this is huge news. If you go and read these deeds, it'll say something toward the end that says the property hereby conveyed has heretofore been declared surplus to the needs of the United States of America, is presently under the jurisdiction of, is presently under the jurisdiction of the General Services Administration, GSA, is available for disposal, and its disposal has been heretofore authorized by the Administrator of General Services, acting pursuant to the above, referred to laws, regulations, and orders. And if you back, and in witness thereof, in the United States of America's cause, these presents to be executed in behalf of their first, blah, 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 all the legal stuff. But, you know, if you back up ever so slightly, is it back up? I don't know. Yeah, that's right. If you back up, like, one or two paragraphs where it's going to do like kind of the description of the lot. It says lot one on Gulf Beach subdivision, according to a plot of said subdivision reported at page 52 in plat block number 4, the public record. I know this is boring, but you trust me, there's a part coming. The public records in the office of the clerk of the circuit court for Escambia County, state of Florida, the southerly 75 feet of said lot being subject to a perpetual easement for a beach for public use generally. If you say that's it, oh, that's enough. That's it again. And I say if this pans out, because this was all, you know, suddenly thrown into the public yesterday morning when Commissioner Burgash had his coffee with the commissioner in Perdido Key. God, there's a, I hate to say this, but I have a nagging sense that he must have known this was gonna happen it can't have been just pure coincidence that he's doing a town hall live instead of on Zoom in Perdido Key on the same day that this information all just gets thrown onto his desk. Now I don't really care, it doesn't really matter one way or the other. I just think it's an odd bit of coincidence for it all to happen at the same time, but nevertheless it looks exactly as he says, that there's 75 feet of public use easement north of the water on every single property, and they only had looked at certain ones, which was basically going from Johnson Beach Road over to Perdido Sky, which is like the first of the resorts going west. But, you know, that's a lot. And it seems like maybe all the rest of them for all of Perdido Key, maybe. And by the way, that kind of bolsters the case that this was all suddenly, oh, my God, what do we have here? Because he didn't have time to do all of them, only the first 64. So, you know, maybe it was just all time and coincidence. It's possible, sure. So anyway, this is a wild bit of news. Because, you know, we've been having this conversation for years about how out on Pensacola Beach, it's all public, right? The sandy beaches are the public's beaches. You can go on those beaches. Nobody can stop you. You can walk up and down the entirety of Santa Rosa Island, right? On Perdido Key, the exact opposite. You can only go in the places where you have public access owned by, for example, the county or, like, you know, the National Seashore or maybe a state park or the wet sand. Because this has always been the descriptor is the mean high waterline, which is where the water comes up on the beach. You can't go to the dry part of the beach. That's owned by the property owner. The wet part of the beach, you can walk on that. And the wet part of the beach is not very much. Also, it's not very useful because when you go to the beach, do you park your tent, you know, or your shade structure or your, you know, cooler and your chairs on the dry sand or on the wet sand? Well, on the dry sand, of course. So though you could legally walk in the wet part, that's an important distinction that's always been there. It probably doesn't get used an awful lot just because it's not very convenient. And certainly, you know, people aren't going to go to the beach just for that. They'd rather go to Pensacola Beach where it's easier. And you have issues like the no trespassing signs. And you have issues like beach renourishment. Because this is a big deal that you don't renourish a private beach. Right? It doesn't make sense for the public to spend public money to renourish with sand a private beach. So that hasn't been done. Well, now, you know, you can renourish. If, again, if this all turns up to be exactly accurate and there's no subsequent change, no legal opinion that changes this. No, you know, 1957 is a long time ago. A lot could have happened between now and then, and certainly the condo owners and the property owners on Perdido Key are waking up yesterday to be like, the what now you say? You know, kind of like you get up in the morning and you go out in your backyard and you discover, you know, there's a bunch of people inside your fence line, you know, cooking out and camping and partying, and you're like, what are you doing? And you're like, this 75 feet right here that you thought was yours, not yours. You know, that's basically what they woke up to as a reality.
Okay, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Hey,
and
get out of my yard. I mean it. Not like Clint Eastwood.
Right. Yeah. Get off my beach. So they, you know, this has been an ongoing kind of a fight, and it was based on the assumption that this was their beach. Well, maybe not. And again, depending on how this all pans out, it could be that there's 75 feet of sand, which, by the way, this is an odd reference point, right? Like, as I read it, it's 75 feet from the waterline, which that moves. So, you know, the point of the mean high tide line or mean high water line is that it's supposed to be kind of a fixed point relatively. But, you know, 75 feet would depend on where the water is. This is a thought. I mean, it's not a big deal, but still, it's just kind of interesting that you don't, you know, and you own it. You know, remember, you own property even though there's an easement on it. The point of the easement is not that you don't own it. The point of the easement is that other people can use it. You know, like the road is built on your property, but there's an easement for the county to have it over your property. He's right. This is, if it turns out, this is enormous news. And it certainly comes at an interesting time because of all of the safety concerns with Perdido Key beaches that, you know, people have drowned there recently, but there's no lifeguards there. And one of the reasons there's no lifeguards is because private beaches. We don't staff guards to private beaches. We kind of can't. It wouldn't make any sense, just like you don't renourish private beaches.
Over the last several weeks, we've had multiple issues, and we're going to get into that later. Eric Gilmore's here from Public Safety, with folks drowning at our beaches. It's sad. It's horrible. My thoughts and prayers go out to Bryce Brooks and Chuck Johnson. They were visiting our area, staying in a condo here at Perdido Key. Of course, that condo didn't have a lifeguard, so far as I've been told. Staying at a condo here, and sadly, they both lost their lives, drowned in rip currents out at Perdido Key. And ever since that time, we've been looking at ways, what can we do to make this beach safer? What can we do to make the beaches of Perdido Key safer? Well, we can't expend public money on private property. Well, God works in mysterious ways, because coinciding with my effort to work with Eric to find a way to get some lifeguards out here for safety, comes this news that, lo and behold, the 75 feet going all across Perdido Key is an easement for public beach access. So we're going to be talking a lot about that. To me, that's profound news.
It really is profound news, for sure, especially given all of the fights over beaches and the, you know, state statutes or laws that have been passed recently about those and public use and all of that kind of stuff. And by the way, you know, one of the things that I want to make sure to mention in this is, this is not something that Commissioner Bogosh just up and discovered on his own. It was the result of a public request for information based on something that kind of a local activist discovered in looking into this issue for many, many years and kind of fighting for beach access. And he gave credit. You know, he definitely gave credit for that, appropriately so. So, again, this is all kind of fresh. You know, we're going to have to hear from the county attorney. I'm sure there will be litigation over this. You can't imagine all of the effort that goes into those beaches by the owners of the property there, you know, condos or whatever, and they're just going to, you know, lay down and be like, oh, man, sucks to be us. You know, like, that's just kind of there's going to be legal wrangling over this. But so my theory about how all this plays out is you're probably going to have the county try to implement something like, well, therefore you can't have signs up, or they're going to take down signs or something along these lines. And then there's going to be a court case from probably a condo owners association that's going to push back. And so we're going to get a judge involved, I would think, and the judge is going to issue some kind of a preliminary rule. And that preliminary rule is either going to say, well, until we're sure, we're going to treat it like we've been treating it for the last 20 years. Nobody can go there without permission. Or a preliminary rule that says, no, this looks pretty straightforward, and until I see otherwise, those beaches are open. I don't know which way the judge is going to go. Again, I'm not a judge. I'm not a lawyer. You know, I didn't even stay at the right hotel last night. I'm just, you know, I'm just going based on what I know. And this is likely to be a major change in the use of Perdido Key beaches. Tough. And also, by the way, would open up those beaches for, you know, renourishment and possibly public guards. You know, we could possibly have guards operating on those beaches as well, something that has been called for in the, you know, aftermath of all of these threats and rescues and drownings, by the way. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join Travis Thompson with Climatech of Professional Air, an American Standard heating and air conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area, on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30. Join in as Travis discusses how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. Join him today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
All we are is dust in the wind, dude.
Whoa, so great. 523 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
President Biden is in Dublin on his three-day tour of Ireland today. Later today, he'll become the fourth president in U.S. history to address the Irish Parliament. He'll also be attending a banquet at Dublin Castle, where he'll be a guest of honor today. 14-year-old girl has died. Five people were hurt in a shooting on Wednesday in North Carolina. That happened in Goldsboro, about an hour southeast of Raleigh. Witnesses tell police they heard gunshots at a pool party. Schools there are on spring break this week. And a ruling by a Texas judge that suspended approval of a popular abortion drug now being blocked by a federal appeals court. The 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals on Wednesday granted a request to put on hold the part of the ruling that suspends the FDA's original approval of mifepristone. The Justice Department could still ask the Supreme Court to completely block the Texas ruling.
Very good. Thanks so much for the update, David. 524 here on News Radio 92.3. Got a couple of texts in related to the beach access news that we talked about a moment ago. The apparent discovery that all of the deeds going back to when the federal government gave the beaches, the land, the property out on Perdido Key to be sold by Escambia County, that you get 75 feet of access from the waterline north. One person texts in, fantastic news. Jeff Bergosh is my new hero. The beach should belong to the public. Somebody else says, good on public access, 75 feet from the wet sand toward Perdido Key Road. Question is, other than the few public access areas from the road to the water, how does J&Q Public get to the water? Seems like that will be a long, narrow 75-foot public area from Johnson's Beach to Alabama with limited corridors to get there. That's exactly right, by the way. That's true. And it's an important note that, you know, although you have that 75-foot of apparently, again, I keep saying that just to be sure, the apparent public use all along the beach for all of those miles from Johnson Beach all the way over to, well, I guess it'd be to the seashore and then what, to the state park and whatever. But yeah, that's exactly right. But there's little tiny ways of getting there, you know, and limited parking because those accesses to and for and whatever only have so many cars that they can accommodate. So how huge of a change will this be? Well, the first obvious good news note is that you would be able to take a walk all the way along it. Although, again, you could do that now. I mean, on the wet part, right? You could do that now on the wet part. So that wouldn't change so much. But basically, yeah, the perception that, well, this is my beach and I can go there, and the taking down of the ugly signs and all of that kind of stuff, and maybe a little bit less hostility in the interaction between visitors and owners and all that kind of stuff. You know, so there are lots of upside, okay? But on the other hand, and I say this by way of just kind of thinking through all the implications. So I know, generally speaking, people are really excited about this news who want access to that beach and have always and feel at odds with the, for example, the condo owners. But if you're the condo owners, probably not thrilled about this. And then the question will be, do they hold it against Commissioner Bergosh for publicizing, disclosing, discovering, even though clearly he didn't make the rule, he didn't make the deed, he just kind of, oh, hey, look at what I found, you know, right? So, well, but if it hadn't been for him, nobody would have known the better. All questions to be determined, I would think. 526 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Frontier Motors, a great place to buy good quality used cars that are 1, 2, 3 years old, low miles, great condition. And, you know, one of the things that I like about them, I mean, there's so many, it really, easy opportunity. When we bought a car, after we bought the car, we bought a Honda Odyssey a couple years ago, I basically went to my sales manager. I'm like, dude, get Frontier Motors. I want to talk about Frontier Motors. I asked for it because we had such a good experience. And part of that experience was, even at that time, we had like just bought the car. I didn't even know it all because 6 months later and then a year later, they called me to make sure that everything was okay with the car. Who does that as a used car dealership? Because they're hoping that they kind of don't want to talk to you again because, you know, they might find out something bad. Frontier wants to know if there's a problem so they can fix it. Because we had like one key needed to be replaced, which they did, no problem. Okay, I've had other people tell me that they've had, you know, issues, sometimes little, sometimes larger, with their cars. Frontier always goes out of their way to take care of them because they're not trying to just, you know, get you the one time and hope to never see you again. They're trying to get you over and over and over again because you feel like they've taken such good care of you. I even had a guy over the weekend, he emailed me, he's like, Andrew, you always talk about Frontier and they did me dirty. I'm like, did they? How? And he's like, well, they had this thing and they haven't been responsive. I'm like, really? I'll call them. And he's like, well, just let's give it a minute. And he basically emailed me back the same day. He's like, no, it's good. They called me. We're fine. I jumped the gun. And I'm like, exactly. You know, that's the point, is that's kind of how they do business. 437-1620. Somebody here texts in about the beach access issue, says that easements do not get extinguished by the Florida Statute 712. Marketable Record Title Act document is an interesting find, by the way, but also the condo owner should have gotten a better title search instead of a cheaper one. Yeah, no, what's going to be interesting about this, to me, it's partially going to be interesting, of course, the main question is to find out what's the actual legal status of that 75 feet. Is it or isn't it public? That's going to be the main question. Then the follow-up is, if it is public, what's going to happen to, like, the title search or the real estate transactions, or, you know, will people be able to sue somebody because their property is not worth what they thought it was worth because that's diminished value, right? If you don't have access to that. I mean, if you get up and you discover that 75 feet of your front yard actually belongs to the county and people can walk all over it, that's a different value to your house than if you think you own that 75 feet, which is, you know, the comparable situation here. So, you know, we'll see. These things are all kind of, you know, waiting to be discovered. 437-1620, 437-1620. As far as events go, lots of events going on in Escambia County. We've got the Shred-a-thon is coming up where you can take, you know, up to 50 pounds worth of documents over to the Pensacola Interstate Fairgrounds. This is on Saturday, April 22nd from 8 to 11. 50 pounds is about two boxes or two big bags, and they'll take care of you. News Radio, WEAR, ABC3, Better Business Bureau, and Gilmore Services present the Community Shred-a-thon event coming up on April 22nd. We also have Hogfest. Northeast Sertoma presents Hogfest 2023 at Pensacola Harley-Davidson, Saturday, April 29th. $100 tickets, good for two people, and an entry in the drawdown for a new Harley-Davidson. Benefits every child, a reader, Escambia, and Pathways for Change, two great organizations. Find out more at newsradio923.com. David Wayne, what do you have coming up in your news, sir?
Well, slimy milk was reported at a school in Santa Rosa County. We'll tell you about it right after this update from Fox.
News. I'm CJ Papa. A man who claims his buddy posted the secret intel from the Pentagon online speaks to the Washington Post.
He is not interested in helping any foreign agencies with their attack on the U.S. or other countries.
He also said his friend worked on a military base, has been sharing the highly classified documents with a group of friends online since the pandemic. There's been no confirmation from the DOD. Former President Donald Trump in a legal battle over his company's business practices set to meet today with lawyers for New York Attorney General Letitia James.
It alleges the Trump Organization falsified financial statements made as part of loan applications. He was deposed once before in August in the same case.
Fox's Gary Baumgarten reporting. America is listening to Fox News.
Not allowed to spend public money to station lifeguards on private. Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, it's a rainy morning. It is 67 degrees here in Pensacola. Pensacola man now jailed on accusations that he tried to rape somebody he just met on a dating app. 20-year-old Marquise Simmons was arrested last Thursday by Pensacola police, now being held without bond at the Escambia County Jail. On January 30th, Simmons allegedly went over to a victim's home after meeting on the app, Meet Me. The victim tells investigators after 15 minutes, Simmons made advances that were rejected, then allegedly became upset and threatened to rape them. The victim says they were able to escape and call police. Simmons was arrested after being identified during a police lineup. Santa Rosa County school officials say they had to pull several cases of chocolate milk after slimy milk was reported at one school this week. Happened Tuesday. Two students at Avalon Middle School said they got slimy milk at lunch.
Going forward, obviously, my hope is that we get some responses back from the vendor today in regards to if that was a, as you said, bad batch or if it's a production issue. And then we'll take action according to what those results are.
And District Food Services Director Leslie Bells tells Channel 3 the 10 cases of milk had to be pulled from distribution lines. Those cases had a date of April 17th. As of yesterday, all the cartons with that date had been sent back to the supplier. Well, only half joking, Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves says one of his goals as mayor is to be the administration that stops trucks from hitting Graffiti Bridge. To that end, he says he's preparing to make a funding request for the installation of overhangs on 17th Avenue to warn the trucks before they get to the bridge.
And all of the resources we spend on that, that the rail company spends on that, and the citizen themselves spend on that, we could probably make up that, unfortunately, we could make up that 140 pretty fast, I think.
And Reeves says the cost for the design and construction would be about $140,000. That request will be brought to the city council on April 27th. An Escambia County, Alabama deputy out of a job and facing charges after allegedly having sexual contact with an inmate he'd arrested and was taking to jail. Eric Glenn Lambeth Jr. was charged with custodial sexual abuse this week and also a felony ethics violation for the alleged tryst. Officials say the investigation began after a complaint was received last week. Lambeth was terminated and arrested last Friday. He's since been released from jail on $45,000 bond. More civil rights groups warning people who are interested in coming to Florida not to.
Equality Florida issued a travel advisory yesterday, citing a series of laws moving through the state legislature that could potentially negatively impact the LGBTQ plus community. The latest, they say, is the Florida Senate approving a bill aimed at blocking venues from allowing kids to attend drag shows. Also this week, the Florida Immigrant Coalition issued an advisory saying every county in the state poses an increased risk of harassment or possible detainment due to racial profiling. These come after the Florida NAACP chapter sent a similar request to its national board last month. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
And right now, 5:34, let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be seeing plenty of rain throughout the entire day today. 60% chance of heavy showers and thunderstorms, high near 73 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. For Friday, small chance of rain in the very early morning hours, but then sunshine returns by the afternoon, high near 77. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 63. Weekend forecast does come with a few very light showers. 30% chance of rain on Saturday with a high near 76. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And it's 5:35 right now on a rainy Thursday morning. 67 in Pensacola, 67 in Gulf Breeze, 64 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us each month as we detail what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in tomorrow morning at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Get your finances in order and become financially free with Dave Ramsey. Weekdays 1 to 4 after Brian Kilmeade on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:37 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and yesterday, as we do on a Wednesday, we connected with Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Hey, first question, just a fact I don't know the answer to. Milton announced yesterday about a $10 million grant that they got from the feds for natural gas pipeline refurbishment and upgrades. Obviously, with Pensacola Energy being a city property, an industry, are we in line for, do you know, is there any money coming to Pensacola?
Yeah, I don't know if it's within that specific bucket, but actually, coincidentally enough, we're in budget time right now, and I'm trying to learn as much about the budget as I can. So I've sat in every one of our first department meetings with administration, and learned. Yeah, I've actually fired an email out to some folks on the federal side about $26-28 million, somewhere in that range, grant that we're crossing our fingers for. So I don't know if it's the same bucket or not, but I'm really excited about the trajectory of Pensacola Energy. Honestly, if you look at the how much service we're putting in and how much we're growing, it's really been amazing. So they're doing a great job out there, and certainly we'll advocate for any opportunities to help modernize our service.
Absolutely. And I know Pensacola Energy has done a lot of this, but I know there's still a lot to be done. I mean, it's a very old system, and some of the stuff they have to deal with can be problematic at times, like the capacity to deliver to businesses downtown because of ancient infrastructure that won't handle the additional pressure and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about, I had a lot of questions from people that they wanted me to ask you. Here's one. With all of the new well, that's not really new traffic, but it seems like there's more traffic now on Gregory Street because of the bridge going over to I-110. And I will tell you that from my own experience, having to cross sometimes to go from the south side to the north side or turn onto, and I see it with pedestrians, it just seems like there's a lot more conflict in traffic and pedestrian activity on Gregory Street these days. Are there any plans to alleviate that? I know this is a very complicated thing to try to address, but anything that you've got in mind that might help that problem?
Yeah, and look, I agree. I mean, this is one of those things when we talk about, you know, we spent centuries on this planet designing for the pedestrian, and we spend about 100 years designing for the car, and we see, you know, what we have to untangle in some issues when you have that many lanes moving that quickly. It becomes one of the major issues. Totally get that there. That's a tough point. And of course it's stuck between federal interstates and on ramps, and
right.
That limits your ability to do things as well. And so, I can tell you on Wright Street, about a block north there, where there's that funky intersection right there at Alchemy's, with the train tracks coming through.
Yeah.
We are looking at some traffic calming measures there. That's a little bit easier to tackle. Right now it's got three lanes, and it doesn't take nearly the traffic that Gregory does. But what we hope is, you know, to start having a better east-west connector for pedestrians and bicyclists, and that sometimes we don't get to pick which street it is. Unfortunately, you know, that makes the most sense. So I'm really excited about that. It's actually kind of a public-private partnership to add a little parking there. Go down to less lanes as you get to Tarragona Street there on right. So what we hope is, while it may not be exactly that street today or tomorrow, that we are actively trying to alleviate and continue to make the city improve in its, you know, pedestrian and bicyclist friendliness, I would say.
Yeah, and look, I know nobody's excited to talk about something like, putting a light in on, Gregory or something like that, or God forbid a pedestrian overpass or whatever, but it just, you know, you think about that scenario and it's hard to come up with really good solutions. I understand the challenge.
Real quick, we want to let you know there's a tornado watch in effect now for Okaloosa County. Certainly we'll be monitoring this with great interest. We also got a traffic note to be careful if you don't have a high-profile vehicle. Like, there's wind gusts 25, 35 miles per hour. This is heading towards Pensacola NAS. This is just strong wind gusts on the road. That's what I'm saying. Use caution there. And again, tornado watch for Okaloosa County in effect. Now we return to Mayor D.C. Reeves with Andrew.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Hey, first question.
Talk about, you know, we spent centuries on this planet designing for the pedestrian, and we spend about 100 years designing for the car, and we see, you know, what we have to untangle in some issues when you have that many lanes moving that quickly. It becomes one of the major issues. Totally get that there. That's a tough point. And of course it's stuck between federal interstates and on ramps, and
right.
That limits your ability to do things as well. And so, I can tell you on Wright Street, about a block north there, where there's that funky intersection right there at Alchemy's, with the train tracks coming through.
Yeah.
We are looking at some traffic calming measures there. That's a little bit easier to tackle. Right now it's got three lanes, and it doesn't take nearly the traffic that Gregory does. But what we hope is, you know, to start having a better east-west connector for pedestrians and bicyclists, and that sometimes we don't get to pick which street it is. Unfortunately, you know, that makes the most sense. So I'm really excited about that. It's actually kind of a public-private partnership to add a little parking there, go down to less lanes as you get to Tarragona Street there on right. So what we hope is, while it may not be exactly that street today or tomorrow, that we are actively trying to alleviate and continue to make the city improve in its, you know, pedestrian and bicyclist friendliness, I would say.
Yeah, and look, I know nobody's excited to talk about something like, putting a light in on, Gregory or something like that, or God forbid a pedestrian overpass or whatever. But it just, you know, you think about that scenario and it's hard to come up with really good solutions. I understand the challenge. This week, in fact, tomorrow, there's a meeting to do the call for artists to come find out what they might be looking at to do the welcome sign, right?
Yeah, just a little background on that. You know, I came into office, and this is had already been moving, and you know, there was a conversation about just designing one or two things, and you know, having the mayor pick one. And I don't know, I put up a lot of large scale art at my old businesses and went through that process. And you know, I'm kind of curious. We had a lot of talented, creative people in this community, I want to see what ideas they have before. You know, I just pick something, you know, and considering the fact that 100,000 people a day will see this sign, you know, I thought this was a good opportunity for there to be some community engagement. And so with that comes complication. Look, I mean, you can't just run a piece of art out there or run a statue out there and, you know, the first sign of wind, it falls over, right? So there's a lot of different pieces to this in terms of what's it going to go on. You know, we got to have our engineering department make sure we construct it correctly, that it meets FDOT guidelines. So, you know, self-inflicted. We've signed up for kind of a complex thing.
Yeah.
So what we thought would be the best remedy to this is to say, all right, let's all get in the same room. You know, let's have artists get in here. We'll have our engineers there. We'll have city staff there and kind of be able to talk through and really manage expectations as well. You know, you may design something, but it may not mean that necessarily that artist is going to make 100% of it by hand on site. You know, they might have to be handled in a different way. And so we don't want to give unrealistic expectations. You know, one of the questions, are we going to pay artists? The answer is yes. Now, can we pay them out of FDOT money or do we have to pay them with our own, you know, city money? Well, we'll work that out. But, you know, now automatically you don't really say that in the perception that we aren't going to pay an artist. Well, that's just not true. I would never do that. And so we're trying to myth bust and kind of, you know, set expectations for everybody. But I still think it's worth it. You know, it's worth, you know, having, because it's going to be something that, you know, if done correctly, is going to be an iconic piece of, you know, the right entry to our city.
Yeah. I love that.
To me, it's worth the effort.
I love the focus on aesthetics. I love the idea that, you know, you didn't just take either the easy way out or the simple, whatever you prefer way out, or, you know, God forbid you didn't do like the ECUA water tower with ECUA on it. You know, you were thinking about better alternatives,
right,
you know, for welcoming people. I'm glad that it's happening. Anyway, that's tomorrow if people are interested. Speaking of, you know, public art, which I'm a big fan of, I love streetscapes and murals. And in fact, I actually started a Facebook group called Just Murals of Pensacola for people to share these kind of things. I was talking to somebody, another question that came from a listener, it asked me, Miami, of course, is amazing street art and mural art, and even has dedicated spaces, which I've seen elsewhere, like in Washington, D.C., just whole spaces that are dedicated to, not graffiti, but, you know, just public art. Is there anything like that that we could try to do in Pensacola that would be almost like graffiti bridge, you know, next evolution kind of thing?
Yeah, you know, I think about there's the CBD, Central Business District in New Orleans, did something similar to this where they kind of went and identified walls, be it on their own city buildings or on, you know, private partners that were willing to do that and kind of donate a wall that might be facing a parking lot and, you know, and beautify. I'm certainly a huge supporter of that. And we've actually had, you know, very preliminary conversations about how do we inventory, you know, what would be available. But do it at scale, right? So not just say, hey, we found one you know, business owner who would give us this one wall and we do something. But it would be kind of cool to say, hey, we've got six or seven walls and how do we handle that? You know, do we pay for materials or we get private businesses to donate to, you know, to make it worth, you know, the artist's time? I philosophically very, very much in support of that. I think that it brings, again, a uniqueness. I actually went to there's a city called Valparaiso, Chile. I went in January, and that's what they, by happenstance, became known for was.
Yeah.
So now graffiti artists from all over the world come and basically tag, you know, with permission, almost every wall in the city. And I'm not saying we're going to go to that extreme, but it just, I think it adds a uniqueness, like Wynwood you mentioned in Miami. I love that kind of stuff too. So, you know, we haven't gotten anything substantial going on that, but we've had some very preliminary conversations, what if conversations
cool.
That, and that's certainly something I'd love to see through.
Somebody texted and said, oh my God, DC's already been thinking about it, how cool. See, I love that. I love when I ask you a thing and you're like, yeah, we're already working on that, Andrew, simmer down. So that's great. I would love to see it. Hey, one last quick thing before the lightning round. This is probably not fair to try to jam it in here, but we keep not getting to it. You wrote an obituary for the first black mayor of Pensacola, Salvador Pons. It's part of a whole series that the PNJ is going to be publishing on obituaries for famous black Pensacolians who never really got that kind of treatment in their time. How cool was that for you to write that?
Yeah, it was awesome, and with a lot of help, you know, from Adrian Walker in our office, and because, frankly, you know, on the cursory, trying to get as much research as I could done, as I mentioned in the obituary, there, you know, in that time period, there is not much left. So a lot of help from UWF and Adrian and Councilwoman Broughton and the whole team that's helping put that series together to help me dig up as much as possible that we could find. But, you know, I thought it was really interesting. I mean, imagine a day, you know, in this era right now, in this generation we're in, that you would have somebody that represented the city as a mayor, as a state representative, and when they died, there'd be five words in the newspaper, yeah, just their age and how they died. You know, it's kind of incredible when you think about that. And what a different time that was, and the first and only black mayor in the city of Pensacola. And, of course, you know, soon after he was the mayor and had, you know, represented this community for a long time, you know, we wouldn't see black representation like that for decades. And so it was really, you know, we talk about the history of the city of Pensacola and how it was such a melting pot of different cultures, different, not just skin color, but different, you know, where the origins of what countries people had come from, whether it was Creole, black, white, you know, everything. And so that really was symbolic, you know, his being the mayor was really symbolic of the time. And so I really got to enjoy that. Shake the rust off from an old journalist, you know, it's kind of enjoyed getting to go through that process.
When you haven't done any professional writing in a while and then you do it, you remember, oh, this was fun and hard. Harder than I remember. Well, DC, we always like to end with a little bit of a lightning round. So here goes. First question for you. Okay. Does DC Reeves have a favorite board game?
Well, I would say right now with an 8-year-old, it's Uno. We've been playing a lot of Uno right now, and I get beat more than I'd like.
Do you play the crazy Uno with all the additional wild rules that is unofficial, or do you play like the standard, just basic Uno? Learn your colors and your numbers.
We're very traditional Uno players.
Okay.
We don't like to break the tradition.
There's a crazy, insane version of Uno that's all I can tell you about that. When you take eggs out of your egg carton, do you have a strategy of any kind at all?
No, because funny fact, I don't eat eggs. So,
what?
You know, I know you guys keep making me sound like the pickiest eater, which I guess I am. You know, no mustard, no salt and vinegar chips, no eggs. Yeah,
okay.
I know I'm a very carb loading breakfast eater.
All right, fair enough. And then the last question is, when you put leftovers in the refrigerator, well, assuming that you do, what kind of containers do you use? Uh-huh. You know, Tupperware, Rubbermaid, old sour cream container, wonton soup container. Do you have a preference?
Yeah, I use Tupperware, and then it stares at me for a few days and makes me feel guilty that, you know, I convinced myself I was going to eat them, you know, cook extra and eat them, and then I end up not eating them as much as I should. The square Tupperware is what I go.
All right, so you feel guilty about not throwing it out, and then you wait and don't eat it, and then you throw it out anyway, and then you felt guilty and you wasted space and time, right?
That's 100% exactly. I couldn't describe it better myself. That's
no
exactly
other human has
the
ever
process.
Done exactly that, except all of us.
I like to chill my garbage, too.
DC Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola. City council meeting tomorrow night. Should be a fairly quick one. We'll look forward to talking to you next week, sir. Thank you so much for the time.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Yeah, the meeting tonight is going to be very short. The meeting next week might be involved. There's a lot of interesting stuff that's going to come up on the, not next week, but the next time around. A lot of stuff is going to come up on the agenda. And by the way, this business of Salvador Pons, the first black mayor, is really interesting. You ought to go look up this article on the PNJ's website.
Isn't that great?
Because the death notice for the guy who was the first mayor of Pensacola that was black, he had served in the Florida House in 1968. He was elected to represent Escambia County. County voters reelected him in 1869, 1870, and 1875. He was a Pensacola City Councilman in 1869 to 70, one-year term as mayor in 74, elected him to city clerk for two terms, 77 to 80, and 1882 to 1884. Multiracial democracy basically for 16 years ended with the ouster of the democratically elected government and the burning of the city's archives on Plaza Ferdinand. If you don't remember, this part of our history is pretty ugly. And then when he died, here's what the obituary in the PNJ said. Creole Salvador Pons, 55 years consumption. The whole obit. The entire obituary.
That's shameful.
Creole Salvador Pons, 55 years consumption, 44 characters. That's it. That's all it said. The next, you know, there was an obituary that DC reported on in Savannah. The Morning News of Savannah said, the death of Salvador T. Pons removes a familiar figure from the streets and political circles of Pensacola. Just, you know, a slice of what Pensacola was like for a while. And then for a while, you know, very, very different.
And that's why we're so lucky to have somebody like DC in office that is.
And then this project of doing the obituaries of famous Pensacolians, I know Tenny Day Broughton is very connected, is very involved in doing this. It's a really neat project. It's really good. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
The Pete Moore Imports lineup of Volkswagen crossovers and SUVs will fit your lifestyle and your particular budget, whether a Taos, Tiguan, or Atlas. Pete Moore offers you smart choices, starting with the 2023 VW Taos. This sporty crossover is a joy to drive and is packed with technology. Right now, a 2023 Taos SE is discounted to start from $31,439. The 2023 Tiguan SE comes with third-row seating, modern looks, and cargo capacity to hold plenty. It's discounted to start from $32,899. And for the ultimate comfort and more than enough room for your family, friends, and furry companions, the VW Atlas is built for adventure. The 23 Atlas SE with technology now from $41,599. Pete Moore Imports has the selection and prices you've been searching for. They're not in Car City, but at 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Sale price before tax, title, and dealer fees. See dealer for details.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. I'm the president of New South Window Solutions. What I like people to understand about our company is what's unique about us. We manufacture, we install, we guarantee. We go out of our way to make it easy. The most important thing that New South offers is very simple, absolutely true factory direct pricing. From our factory to our truck to your driveway. Most other window companies are either resellers, a wholesaler, a contractor, a distributor, a sales organization. We eliminate those levels of marketing, so you're paying true factory direct pricing.
Going on now, save 35% off factory direct windows and doors. Call 1-800-NEW-WINDOWS.
Choosing an early education program is one of the most important decisions a parent makes. Navarre Montessori Academy develops confident, multicultural, multilingual children who respect diversity, community, who are caring, capable, enthusiastic, and committed to a lifetime of learning. Navarre Montessori Academy is a dual language immersion school that nurtures learning in an environment that celebrates cultural differences and holds to the Maria Montessori philosophy. Waitlist now open for 18 months through third grade. Check out their online reviews and call to schedule your tour today.
Join Jeremy from the Florida Panhandle's premier marine center, BGS Marine Sales, today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. He'll be kicking off the start of their open house on Saturday at their new location, 3910 Navy Boulevard. Text or call in your questions, 850-437-1620. Tune in to find out about the new BGS Marine Ship Store and custom fabrication.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at David's Catfish House. David's Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. This spring, weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton and New Warrington Road in Pensacola. See you at David's.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3, 95.3, and on the AM dial at 1620.
The rumors of my promiscuity have been greatly exaggerated.
Oh, that is one of my favorite movies. Emma Stone in Easy A. That is a great movie.
I hear that's great.
Genuinely,
and I love her.
Great movie. Yeah.
She can do no wrong.
5:58 News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Former President Trump is in New York today for another deposition by Attorney General Letitia James. This comes about a week after his arraignment on criminal charges related to an alleged hush money case. The World Health Organization says a Chinese woman has become the first person to die from a type of bird flu that's rare in humans. The organization says the strain doesn't appear to spread between people. The woman apparently had a number of underlying conditions and a history of exposure to poultry.
Be honest, raise your hand if every time you hear about some new disease from the CDC in the last 2 years, you're like, yeah, we're not doing any more of this.
Oh, yeah, every time.
You know, the funny thing is, it doesn't matter whether you think this is a big deal or not. The disease will be what the disease is. So
we have to stop eating bats again?
No, well, maybe you shouldn't have in the first place.